financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham. Hello.
Well, hello, Jess. How are you today?
I am good. We are talking Social Security, though, which doesn't seem like it's going well.
It doesn't seem like a sexy topic either, but I'll tell you what, it affects a lot of people. Yeah. Wow. Social Security. So there's been, for many years now, talk about the Social Security being cut in 2033.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about why that would happen, could happen, and probably will happen. And, you know, what could make it a little bit better and what you can do about it, whether you're already taking Social Security or whether you're considering taking Social Security earlier because you want to make sure to get in on it or delaying. It's one of the most common questions we get. Should I take my Social Security now or later?
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen if Social Security ends?
Well, and the fact that they're even thinking about cutting it, it seems like it's very little to live off of anyway, if that's all you have.
There's no doubt about that. And some statistics show that the largest portion of people's retirement income today
mm-hmm.
is Social Security. And the average monthly check is about $1,400. So that will tell you something.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to be able to live on that for sure.
No. And so if somebody's saying, and by the way, it's going to run out in 2033, that strikes fear into the hearts of anybody who is counting on it or who is already receiving it.
Mm-hmm. Can we start with just a small rant?
Yeah.
Okay.
On your part or mine?
on my part, I just want to say, and I'm just curious to get your thoughts on it as a financial expert, but it just irks me so much when we talk about ending Social Security or like this free money we're getting. We pay into Social Security with every paycheck for all of our working life. So I don't love the idea that it's kind of positioned as a gift we're getting.
Yeah, I would agree with you and take the other side as well and say, just because you say we paid in all this time, if you actually look at what you pay in versus what people are getting paid out, you'll see it's not quite in line with what you've paid in for some other kind of an investment.
Well, but, depending on how long you live, right?
Well, yes. And your rant is heard and well taken, because I think most of us feel this way. So this is why it's worth, you know, talking a bit about this and how Social Security has worked in the past, how it might work in the future, and this idea about what Social Security is.
Okay.
So Social Security was never intended to be a retirement check, quite honestly. It was intended to be there for people who didn't quite have enough retirement from their company pensions or whatever.
Which have mainly gone away.
Yeah. So the government comes out and says you can have a 401k and your company can match that. And it's supposed to augment your pension, because we knew even way back when, hey, you know, we know what year people are being born. We know what their average life expectancy is. The writing is on the wall that at some point we're going to have a lot more people collecting Social Security and not as many working.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is, people are having less babies, smaller families. That's not hard to see coming. That's a train coming down the track,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, at some point they said, well, we're going to have to augment this. So let's start this new savings account where you can put tax-deferred money away called a 401k. So that sounded great. People with pensions jumped on the bandwagon with a 401k. Companies matched some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then a little while later, companies didn't match so much. Then the pensions started to disappear. I hardly meet anybody today who's got a good pension. So if you've got one, good for you, you
yeah.
know. And somehow this 401k became a replacement for the pensions. And why wouldn't it?
And let me just say, though, that a lot of companies stopped matching at all, especially during COVID, and it never came back.
That's absolutely right. I recently heard of one company matching $2 for every dollar the employee put in, and it was like Christmas for me. I was like, yay! go put money in there. You're getting 200% no matter what happens here.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that was, but it's very rare. And
right.
So you're right. Companies don't match at all now. But from a company standpoint, politically, you had to see this coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to let companies stop having pensions and decide if they want to match or not in a 401k. Well, they saved a boatload of money in pensions.
Right.
And the onus for saving for retirement was shifted onto people, employees, to contribute to their 401k if they could afford to.
Mm-hmm.
And we've many shows talking about how people over-contribute sometimes while they're taking on a lot of debt because they don't have enough money in the end of their paycheck. So, yikes, this is clearly a problem. Social Security has been a problem for a long time. Now, in decades past, it worked fine, mm-hmm. right? There were enough people working and putting money into the system to pay the people who were taking money out of the system. So, for instance, in 1935, we had 150 workers for every retiree. Do you know what we have today?
I'm going to say less than half.
Three.
What?
Three.
Wow.
We now have three workers for every retiree, according to these statistics, right? So what they're saying is, let's go back to this in a minute. I'm going to go back to your rant. The money that you're taking out of Social Security mm-hmm. is not your money. You're putting money in. You know, it's not like a retirement fund where they see how much money you put in and they pay that money out.
Right.
The money out is actually the money that was paid in by the previous generation.
Mm-hmm.
The money that you're taking out of Social Security, if you're drawing your payments now, is what is being paid by current workers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what has made it work in thin times is this trust fund. So the Social Security Administration has a trust fund that has about $3 trillion in it right now, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if we only have three workers for every retiree, we have a problem, big problem. It's shifted radically. And what made this worse than anything is COVID-19. We had COVID-19 throwing tens of millions of workers out of work.
Right.
Right? Not paying money in, being out of work, trying to get back into the system. Some of them decided to take their retirement if they were close enough to do it. You know, nobody expected that. Politically, this is a nightmare. And add to that an election year.
Right.
And yo, man, this thing's on fire, right?
Well, I know the argument's been going on for a long time, but it just seems to me like the people that, you know, now that it's 3-1 versus what it was before, that's kind of not the current generation's fault. So you still have to pay in, but this could be going away by 2033. It just doesn't seem fair. It seems almost like the Security Trust Fund needs to kick in more when there's less people. And then maybe if, you know, future generations, there's more, then they'd have to kick in less. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes sense mathematically, but I'm sure people would object to that. you know, so I don't have a big family, but somebody else did that was in the generation before me, and I have to fund their retirement, so I have to contribute more, right? And the inverse. So, but you're right. Something has to be done to level the playing field here. Mm-hmm. And I think it is, as I've said many times, politically unlikely, particularly in an election year. And I would say to people, be careful about this one. If somebody is running, and I haven't, you know, I'm not picking anybody in particular. I don't have anybody in mind. But if somebody is running and saying, but we're going to fix the Social Security situation, and they're not telling you how,
mm-hmm.
beware. Mm-hmm. Because it seems that there are only a couple of things that they could do. And we have talked about this, and I think we did one whole show about this. But they could, in some way, increase taxes. Nobody loves to do it. But the money's got to come from somewhere,
mm-hmm.
or they could decrease benefits. Now, the decreasing benefits part is the one we've talked about in the past, that, wait a minute, you've got to fix Social Security, so you're going to cut all the social kinds of benefits. I'm not a socialist, right? But this is a sort of a model where we are funding, you know, how people get their food when they have food challenges, you mm-hmm. know, food insecurity. How people handle daycare when they can't afford it, how, you know, what happens when people are out of work. That's all stuff that the government system is funding on an ongoing basis that may have to change if we don't want our retirees homeless and hungry.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, that sounds really harsh, but you know what? 2033 is around the corner. Believe me, it goes fast, right?
I know. I remember thinking when it got to be 2000, it was going to be like, woo, and now it's 2023.
Exactly. So, you know, here's the scary part. We'll talk about things you can do to make it better, maybe, but here's the scary part. They're mm-hmm. talking about by 2033, excuse me, this trust fund would be depleted. Now, the trust fund is what they're dipping into to make the numbers work when they don't.
And that's the trust fund is what you were talking about that had $3 trillion in it about.
That's right. And anybody who listens to the news knows $3 trillion isn't all that much money.
Okay? So $3 trillion in 10 years would be gone is what you're saying.
That's what they're saying, yeah.
Okay.
Now, we have to remember what COVID-19 did to us as well financially, because they dipped into that all that time to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to shorten this timeline a little bit that we thought we might have to recover. So, yeah, I mean, they're dipping into the trust fund because the benefits each year that it's paying out are more than it's collecting in payroll taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to cover that shortfall somehow. That's where the trust comes in. Now, when that trust is depleted, which is what the SSA trustees are now saying and have been for a couple of years, when that trust is depleted, the only money Social Security will be able to pay out to retirees is the money it collects from workers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There won't be any more in the trust fund that went in there by everybody paying in all these years while we had, you know, 150 workers per, you know, one retiree. So now it's upside down. That means there's only enough money at that point. Remember I said we have three workers for every retiree?
Mm-hmm.
That means if we can only draw enough money from workers to pay retirees, that's only enough to cover 76% of the retirees' benefits.
And that's possibly with them being cut as well.
No, I think if they cut benefits now, so that's another part of the story. If they make changes now, the mm-hmm. sooner they make them, the better it will be for everybody. It will be an annoyance. We will complain about it. Nobody wants higher taxes. Nobody wants any cuts of benefits. But the simple math says you got too much month at the end of the money here, and something has got to change.
Well, so, the money's going to come out of somewhere. I mean, either you're going to pay a little, you know, some more taxes or whatever the solution is, or as you said earlier, there's going to be a whole other problem with retirees who end up being homeless or the other problems you were talking about because they don't have families to take them in. So you're either paying more for this now or you're going to end up paying more towards those programs that take care of homeless and other issues.
For sure. And you would pay less for it now than you will if you're the person who gets their benefits cut by, you know, 24%.
So, all right. There's a lot more to talk about on this topic. So let's get your phone number first.
Absolutely. It's 413-773-3333.
And you can go to hugyourmoney.com as well. We'll be right back with part two of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, right here on WHMP.
Have you heard about Get the Tea? It's an online herbal supplement company with high quality standards. You cannot find these in stores. They carry cleansing teas and targeted herbal supplements for all your health needs. Go to getthetea.com today to order yours. Health shouldn't be put off. It should be a priority. And check out their specials page for sale items. That's getthetea.com. Enter code TEA123 to get 10% off your order exclusively for my listeners. Again, getthetea.com, code TEA123. Order today.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, and we're talking Social Security.
You know, I have to say we're both doing pretty well at keeping our cool on this, but it's a hot topic. And any of us who, well, everybody, I mean, any of us who expects to take Social Security or who knows somebody who would be harmed by Social Security being cut is frustrated. And I don't think it takes much to see that we're pointing the finger at politicians because those are the people making this decision. And while I'm on this blame game, let me tell you, if you're unhappy about this, you need to contact your elected representative mm-hmm. and or the White House. I mean, you just need to actually, instead of complaining and letting it fall on deaf ears, sit down, write a letter, put it in the mail and get it out there. Make a phone call to their office and say, I'm unhappy about this, because people tend to live in a bubble, right? And if they're not hearing from you, they just figure out it's a mathematical problem and I'll vote one way or another and that's how my constituents want me to vote and mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. But I think people really need to understand how drastic this could be. And I think also the idea that it's politically unlikely to be quite what we're saying, that, you know, come 2033, there's a line in the sand and bingo, your benefits are cut by 24% and you're stuck dealing with it, right? I mean, I think everybody knows something has to be done about it before that mm-hmm. time. It's not a very long time to correct this problem.
Yeah, it's coming up really quickly. The $3 trillion that we're talking about, that's about that amount in a trust now, do we add to that every year? By we, I mean the government.
Well, we used to.
And we stopped.
You have to remember, the government is us. This is the crux of the matter. I love how people talk about the government, myself included, as though it were some separate company or entity. The government is us. The government doesn't have its own money except for what they print, which that's a whole different story. But, you know, that's our money.
Right.
That they decide where it's going to go. And
yeah, I was going to say they appropriate it in different places. So
There
is other money, whether it be from taxes or wherever, besides our Social Security, that they could have been growing this every year, isn't there?
Well, I think they've been trying to do this. Now, you know, we're assuming that all politicians would look at this and agree on something finally. Mm-hmm. Do I sound negative about politicians? I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's hard not to. And I know that people run on, you know, campaign on Social Security, and but it just doesn't seem like anything has really been done. And we're going to get to 2033 and be like, what now?
Well, I have to say, I do have some sympathy for politicians individually, that many people do run for office because they want to make changes like this and they believe they can do it. They get into D.C. and they have this sort of, like, you can almost hear the album with a needle across it, like, oh, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of red tape, for sure.
I mean, so much manipulation, gridlock, lobbyists, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it is really difficult, I think, for people to actually affect change, particularly when you don't have one or the other party controlling both the presidency and the Congress, right?
Mm-hmm.
That gets more difficult. That's kind of, you know, they bat the ball back and forth and we sit in the middle like people in a tennis match. So I think, you know, are they appropriating it from other places and do they try to do this? Yeah, I think this has been on the top of the topic list for many years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's often, you know, where are you going to take this money from? Well, we're going to... Okay, let me just make something up for a minute. We're going to tell insurance companies they have to, you know, collect more in premiums, and they're going to funnel this money in premiums off to this fund or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you say, somebody is going to be upset by it. You're not going to keep all the people happy all the time.
Right.
Even right now, and as it has been, with us saying, look, 2033 is the end of the trust fund. Here's the math, folks. This is how many people are on the planet. This is how many people are retired. This is how many people are working. You know, find the missing value here. Okay, you're going to be out of money here in 2033. And even with that, because everybody seems to have this, well, it's the truth. If you don't get reelected, you can't do anything, right? You don't have a vote. So they do what they need to do to get elected, maybe. Now, I'm not a political expert, and anybody listening to me would know that. But I'm a citizen.
Right.
And I'm somebody who helps people with their money, and I'm tired of seeing this coming closer and closer and closer without some resolution. If we cut these benefits in 2033, Jeff,
mm-hmm.
by 24%, that's about $17,000 a year for the average annual payout for a Social Security check.
I mean,
I don't care if you're making a lot of money. $17,000 a year is a pretty big cut.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot.
And, you know, that is going to equate to people truly being homeless, not being able to pay for their health care. Now, what does any country not want? You don't want homeless people who are ill, who end up, you know, we end up having a plague again and wiping out our society, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want people in homes with good health care, enough money to get decent food and, you know, live a normal lifestyle. That's what America was supposed to be, right? That's what it's been built on.
Right.
But again, we've abused the system, I'm sorry to say. It was never designed to be a retirement account, and it's been used as one. And we've all done it to ourselves. I mean, not just the individual people, right? Society has pushed us into this. You and I have talked about this many times, by rising costs of things, buying a house, buying a car. All of this requires so much money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to get your money from somewhere in retirement, and Social Security seems to be one of those places for a lot of people. And because pensions were cut and maybe they didn't have enough money to put into a 401k, many, many, many Americans are living almost entirely on Social Security, if not only on Social Security.
Well, I'm curious. I'd love to get your opinion on a couple of things. What are your thoughts on Social Security? Do you think that we should have it or shouldn't have it? Or do you think that there's better places for our money? Because Social Security out of your check isn't an option. You have to put it in. So you don't really have that. But do you think it's good, bad? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think it was developed for a reason. And I think if we could come anywhere close to using it for those reasons, it would be great.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it matters what my opinion is. The horse has left the corral. You know, we are on Social Security for generations now, and we will be if we can fix this for years to come. The question would be, how can we fix it
mm-hmm.
so it continues to work properly while families are lessening in size and less people are working and more people are retiring? We knew this baby boomer thing was going to get us from the time statistics came out in the government and said, look, everybody's having a lot of babies. We're going to have a lot of people retiring.
Yeah.
And nobody did much about it. Nobody really thought much about it. Do I think it's a good thing? You know, I think it's a necessary evil for most people these days. And I think the idea that you could possibly just say, well, we don't have enough money, so you're going to have to live on 24% less is absurd. We cannot do it.
Right.
As America. So one thing I did want to touch base on before we end this, because I started the show saying, you know, what if you're thinking about taking it early or you're already taking it, what should you do?
Mm-hmm.
And what else can you do to improve this situation for yourself? And the first thing is, if you're already taking your Social Security, even let's say that you had to take it before age 70, even you just, you know, for whatever reason decided to take it, just stay the course. Mm-hmm. You know what? I hate this phrase, but I'm going to use it. It is what it is. Okay.
Right.
You're already taking Social Security. You can't change it anyway. Just take the Social Security and maybe squirrel away as much money as you can in preparation for this,
mm-hmm.
because at some point your payments may go down. Now, maybe it won't be by 24%, but I think the chances that they can cut enough money to keep everybody's Social Security checks at the same level and not strip other programs that are necessary completely down to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is quite a game here to play, quite a balancing act. So prepare yourself if you can, you know, lessen your expenses, squirrel away that money if you can. Start to think about it. If you've been thinking about downsizing a home or something, maybe you want to add this into your mix and say, you know, we weren't really thinking about the idea that our Social Security checks might be cut or that our taxes might increase
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. And that's all going to affect your bottom line. So no matter how this is resolved, one way or another, it's going to cost us. And it has to. It can't not cost us somewhere. In taxes, in programs, in benefits, something's going to happen. So do the best you can to be conservative and protect yourself from that. Now, one thing I did want to say is sometimes I hear financial advisors now saying, oh, you know what? You should take your Social Security now at 62 because it's going to end in 2033 and be cut down by 24%. You might as well take advantage of these larger payments now.
Mm-hmm.
That might sound reasonable. And in certain circumstances, it is. For instance, somebody who doesn't have a long lifespan, or there might be reasons that you need to take it at 62. But remember that even if you wait until 70, if you're close to taking it now, if you're making this decision within this time frame, you know, if you took it, if let's say you took the $17,000 we're talking about as an average, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you took $17,000 at age 62, that's the average payout. If you waited till age 70, you'd receive $30,000. Now, I know everybody will say, yeah, but I'll receive it for less. So you have to have a balancing factor here. And the factor I'm going to use is, let's suppose that you live into your 80s or beyond.
Mm-hmm.
You live into your 80s or beyond, you're much better off delaying those benefits.
Because your payment is going to be bigger.
Yeah, and you're not ever going to be able to go up from your $17,000 that you took at age 62. So yes, you get the money earlier, but you sacrifice over that 8-year period, you know, that difference of $14,000 a year.
Right,
or $13,000 a year, excuse my rough math, $13,000 a year. So, you know, when we do these shows, Jeff, I don't try to instill panic in the hearts of people. I'm trying to tell you, I'm just trying to make people aware of something that might be going on, bring it to the forefront. Everybody knows this is a problem. This isn't new.
Right.
Right? He knows it's out there. But take it seriously. Write a letter, pick up the phone, save your money. Think about that extra job if you want an extra job now for a while to squirrel away some cash. Prepare yourself because something by 2033 has to happen. And my guess would be in an election year, something's going to happen sooner rather than later regarding mm-hmm. how this works. You know, do we have an increase in taxes, for instance, which is probably the easiest way for them to do this, right? Nobody will like it.
Right.
It'll happen, or the money will get filtered probably to the wrong place again. Who knows? But somebody politically will say, well, let's just increase taxes.
Well, what about raising the age limit because people are living so much longer?
You know, that's another point that we've talked about in the past. And as always, you bring up great questions. It's another thing they could do. I mean, they've already done it. It used to be that you got full retirement at age 65 from Social Security. They
mm-hmm.
called it your full retirement age.
Yeah.
It's now 66 and a half. Now, this could continue. By the time the next generation can get their Social Security, maybe they have to be 72.
Right.
You know, and the argument will be, well, people are living longer, so that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But just because they're living longer doesn't mean you want to work longer. And I go back to my original point was Social Security is not your retirement plan.
Right. Do you think then that 401k should be required instead of an option?
Well, that's a tough one. I can only point to the Massachusetts teacher's plan.
Okay.
Because that is a requirement. So if you're a teacher in Massachusetts, they take 11% out of your paycheck, whether you want it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And people complain about it initially. And they say, oh, 11% is killing me, you know.
Yeah.
But it forces you to live on what's left of your paycheck. And at retirement, you know, they get a decent retirement out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So should it be mandatory? I don't know. We're back to socialism, right? Shouldn't be able to do what you want for retirement? Yes, but there's an old adage that says, and I've used this before, I'm sure, but the right to swing your fist stops at the next person's nose. And yes, you should be able to make your own decisions, but when you've made those and now you're homeless and hungry and somebody else is having to pick up a tab for that,
mm-hmm.
is it fair? And believe me, I'm not picking on homeless and hungry people. My gosh, I mean, talk about major problems to have in your life. But I am pointing it out because, you know, we like to think of retirees, yeah, they're on a fixed income. They don't go out to eat much. Yeah? How about 24% less in their paycheck means they can't pay their mortgage. They can't pay their health care. They can't
exactly.
That's a problem.
Wow. This is a big topic, and I think you're right. It's going to be coming up a lot in the next few months, for sure.
And beyond, I hope. But, you know, I would love to hear in the news one day that letters have, you know, been flying into Washington and flying into the representatives' offices saying, you have to fix this. And maybe I'm willing to do something. I'm willing to pay a little more in taxes, or I'm willing to, you know, take a little less in my paycheck to help the system survive in some way. You know, anybody who's, I mean, there's a lot of smart people out there.
Yeah.
Anybody with a good suggestion of what to do, please tell your local representative.
It's interesting because it's obviously an urgent issue, but I think we all think, you know, we're never going to be old. So we're like, okay, we can put that off because that's years away, but it gets here quicker than you think.
It really does. And I'll tell you, even if you're not planning on taking Social Security, you should pay attention to this because it's going to affect your lifestyle. When other people can't shop at your business or can't rent your house or driving down the street and you have to encounter, you know, terrible things you'd never like to see seniors having to struggle with. I mean, it affects us all. It's kind of like education when people say, well, I don't have children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have children. Why should I pay taxes for schools? Well, you know what, folks? We're in a large biosphere here called America. It affects us all. So,
all right. Well, let's get your phone number.
Thanks. It's 413-773-3333.
Or as always, you can go to hugyourmoney.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Have you heard about Get the Tea? It's an online herbal supplement company with high-quality standards. You cannot find these in stores. They carry cleansing teas and targeted herbal supplements for all your health needs. Go to getthetea.com today to order yours. Health shouldn't be put off. It should be a priority. And check out their specials page for sale items. That's getthetea.com. Enter code TEA123 to get 10% off your order exclusively for my listeners. Again, getthetea.com, code TEA123. Order today.
Have you heard about Get the Tea? It's an online herbal supplement company with high quality standards. You cannot find these in stores. They carry cleansing teas and targeted herbal supplements for all your health needs. Go to getthetea.com today to order yours. Health shouldn't be put off. It should be a priority. And check out their specials page for sale items. That's getthetea.com. Enter code TEA123 for 10% off exclusively for my listeners. Getthetea.com, code TEA123. Order today.
This is Frances Rayum, the Money Doctor. Now you can become 100% debt-free, budget successfully, and retire well, all under the Hug Your Money umbrella.
It was almost like taking out another mortgage in order to send her to school with her sister right behind her. So I had 8 years of college tuition to figure out how to pay for. My name's Ray. I'm from South Deerfield. We were saving about $1,000 a month, and it really was just a drop in the bucket. Other than their academic scholarships, they didn't qualify for any kind of financial aid. Because they were spread 4 school years apart, we didn't get anything. The bulk of their undergrad was on their parents. So we wouldn't have been able to send our kids to school or the schools of their choice without the help of the program. Megan has graduated. All her college loans are paid off.
HUG works best when we work together. Schedule your free consultation with a Hug Your Money coach today. Visit hugyourmoney.com. Hug Your Money. So unique, it's patented.
Financial literacy and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Rayum.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Rayum. Good morning.
Good morning, Jess. How are you?
I am excellent, and I'm excited about today's show because you have brought along a guest.
I'm really happy to have him back. So Ben has been here with us before, but yes, we have Ben Braverman from SMS Financial Services. So welcome, Ben.
Hey, good morning, Francis. Good morning, Jess. Nice to see you guys again.
So I would say that Ben and I work together a bit. He is a guy that is not in sales. So just so people know, if we're talking about this topic today, he's not selling you anything. He's not giving you advice. He's an expert in this area. And because of that, I often call him and have a working relationship with him about what is new in the area, what's new in the industry, what might be the best product for somebody. Maybe I have a really complicated case and I want a second opinion on it. I might call Ben, and he might involve other team members, including, you know, JDs, attorneys, accountants, whatever. And together we work as a team to try and find the best solution for people. But Ben is not in sales. Even though I'm writing the contract, he's able to help me with a lot of information because it's a quick changing industry. So we're going to be talking about annuities today, maybe a little general chit chat about them, but in specific, a special kind of an annuity called a fixed indexed annuity. And so I'm going to leave Ben a lot of time to talk here, and I'll interject when I think that there's something I can add. So Ben, would you tell your side of the story about what it is from your desk when I call you and what kinds of things you do that help us?
100%. So I work with financial advisors all around the country, and I advise advisors on things from marketing to business development. And a lot of it comes down to product, like fixed index annuities with or without certain riders. And as I understand it, we're going to dig into guaranteed income a little bit today as well. The reason being is Frances is the CEO, the CFO, the CMO of her office. She wears a lot of hats. There's also a lot of different annuities out there. So for that reason, we work together to make sure that her clients are in the best strategies, the most appropriate strategies that are going to give them the most amount of upside relative to their goals, be that capital preservation or guaranteed income, which is typically where a lot of people near entering retirement find themselves.
Yeah, I would say that since I'm an independent broker, and I don't work for one specific company, what I'm looking to do is get the best I can from any company for my clients. And because of that, Ben is right. I am the president of Hug Your Money, of course, and one person can only do so much. And so I rely on experts in the industry rather than saying, I know everything, I'm omnipotent, and I don't need any help. So Ben and I have been working together for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, I think. Yeah, Ben is my first go-to person. So we are going to talk about guaranteed income, but also things that make specific indexed annuities, even though we won't mention company names. But there are specific products out there that really have unusual features that are very helpful to people. So buying an annuity is a lot like buying a car, I like to say. You know, if you ask your friends, hey, what kind of car should I get? They will all have an opinion. They will all think their car is probably the best or the worst. And none of them will be in your position, but they're quick to spend your money or tell you not to. So annuities, if you typed in annuities or even fixed indexed annuities into the web, you would get so much information. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's the right product for you or the wrong product for you. Has to do with your specific situation. So let's start off about talking about why somebody in an environment where CDs are at 4.5%, 5% and people are saying, so I'll just get a CD. Why would somebody want to buy an annuity that offers fixed income, you know, guaranteed income for the rest of your life? So I'll let Ben talk about the environment a little bit, if he would.
100%. There's a couple of different things going on here. So yes, right now you can go down to your bank and probably get a 5-year CD in the neighborhood of 4 to 5%. That's a reflection of the really high interest rate environment that we're in. Why are we in a high interest rate environment? There's any number of economic reasons, but the result of that high interest rate environment is that, yes, you're finally seeing some decent yield at the bank, and that's great, but it's only potentially for the next 5 years. Also, if you put non-qualified or post-tax dollars into that CD, you're going to get taxed on it every single year. Furthermore, indexed annuity companies, which are insurance companies, have access to an enormous inventory of AAA-rated corporate bonds. And when you buy an indexed annuity, they take about 87.5% on average of whatever money goes into that annuity, and they buy AAA-rated corporate bonds. So if you're seeing 5% at the bank, in all likelihood, either through income, which can be reflected as effective yield, or participation rates inside of indexed annuities, you could actually potentially make in excess of 5% and still beat the bank. So for that reason, like a lot of things, what's in the window of the local credit union or advertised by the bank might look attractive, and it certainly is. But if you go out to an independent broker like Frances, there's a good possibility that she can find you something either more long-term or short-term that could also offer a higher rate of return, because it's leveraging the same interest rates as the bank, but it's going a little bit farther with some more advanced options pricing, as well as some different strategies like guaranteed income.
Mm-hmm.
So would you rather 5% for the next 5 years or 5% plus for the next 10, 15, or even 20? And what that 5% actually looks like can take some different forms. But effectively, if it's moving the needle in your retirement, that is the goal for these different strategies.
Something specific comes to mind when we're talking about this. I love it when Ben talks about the market and all the things that people love to hear. But then I have to sort of reduce it to, okay, what does that mean to the average person? And so here's an example. There's a product that I like to use that offers something called an income rider.
Mm-hmm.
So the fixed index annuity could work just like any other investment vehicle where you put X number of dollars in, and if the market does well, it makes money, right? Now, in fairness, if the market does poorly, that account may have protections, principal protections, so it doesn't lose money. That's nice. But what I like to use that product for is the income rider. Now, you have to buy the income rider, but it costs you about as much or a little less than what most money managers charge you to manage their mutual fund or whatever. It still gives you that principal protection I'm talking about. So you're not going backwards. When the market takes a tank, you might have a 0 year, but you're not going backwards. But what it really does that I love is if you buy that income rider on that specific product, it gives you a bonus upfront for income purposes and a guaranteed rate of return, a guaranteed roll-up, an interest rate, essentially, for the 10-year timeline or when you turn that income on, whichever comes sooner. And when you turn that income on, that can guarantee your income for the rest of your life. And when you die, whatever's left over can still go to a beneficiary. Now, when we're talking about bonuses right now, I mean, sometimes they're 10%, sometimes they're 20%. That product right now at the time of this filming is offering 30% bonus, which is enormous. So if you put 100 grand in there, $100,000 becomes 130,000 overnight for purposes of income. You're not walking away with that in cash, but when you turn the income on, it's based on that 130,000 plus, in this case, an 8% per year guaranteed roll up for 10 years or until you turn income on. So there's a handy dandy little calculator that I can show you. It's open to the public. I can't give the name of it right now, but I can show it to you and you can pop any number you want in there and see every year what that income column will have grown to. And that is the number that they're basing your lifetime income on. So in most people's cases, they aren't going to take out their $500,000, $4 million, whatever it is, in a lump sum at retirement time, because they're going to get hammered on the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are taking it out as a stream of income. And I know Ben and I like to talk about this, like it's like privatizing your pension. So I've said what I wanted to say about that, but I'm going to ask Ben what his take is on why that might be so appealing right now, not just with a bonus, but with an 8% rate when CDs are maybe at 4 or 5.
So that gets even better there, Frances. And that maybe that can bring full circle what I was talking about before. So you mentioned somebody puts $100,000 into product A. Product A has a 30% bonus and an 8% compounded roll-up. To the consumers out there, what does that really mean? Well, that means that if you're 60 years old and you put $100,000 into that strategy, if you want to take income after 1 year, you're going to get something in the neighborhood of $6,700 a year guaranteed. So what is that? That is 6.7%. of your purchase payment guaranteed for the rest of your life after 1 year. Now, why do most people purchase CDs? Most people purchase CDs to pull the interest. They either are using it as a safe money solution for accumulation, but the way a lot of retirees use CDs and the way a lot of financial advisors who may not leverage annuities talk about CDs or fixed income is we're gonna pull the interest. So you're gonna take 5% from your CD, interest only, and that's going to be your income. So again, do you want 5% for maybe the next 5 years? Because interest rates might go down, and then what's going to happen to those CDs? The rates are going to go down. So you're only going to get 5% for the next 5 years. With just one of these strategies that Frances is alluding to, you could effectively get 6.7%, $6,700 out of a $100,000 initial premium inlay, 6.7% for the rest of your life guaranteed. And because of the innovation in the index annuity market, there's a lot of strategies now. Well, there's some strategies that also will give you the potential to retain your premium, or what's known as your cash value. But that's not necessarily guaranteed. However, ultimately, if you're purchasing a CD to draw the interest, why would you not take 6.7, and that's just waiting 1 year, for the rest of your life? So if you're 60 years old, you're going into a CD, you're getting 5% for the next 5 years. Great. Then after 5 years, interest rates are back to what, 2-3%. What are you going to do now? On the other hand, right now, income is on sale through people like Francis. So you could get 6.7% for the rest of your life. You could even get, think about this, if you defer a few more years, that same annuity, and I'm going to go ahead and say annuity because I don't think it's a bad word. I think these are fantastic, productive strategies. You could take as much as 10% of purchase payment, which is a great way to talk about guaranteed income because it's a little bit easier to understand. That means in 10 years, you're going to get all your money back. Find me a CD where you could draw 10% interest for your entire life.
Is there a price point, though, that you would recommend getting into an annuity at? Like you're mentioning $100,000. Say you had $10,000. Is a CD better at that point, or still annuity would be better?
Not that one is better than the other. It's that one might be a better choice for you than another. And I would not say that there's a price point where it makes more sense than another. But I might change my advice to somebody based on that. For instance, if they only have $10,000, the income on that is going to be very small. It may not be worth them paying for an income rider. Mm-hmm. And many of these products have, you know, a $10,000 or $20,000 or $25,000 minimum. But it's very unlikely that somebody with $10,000 is saying, here's my retirement nest egg. What am I going to do that's best with it? At that level, they're still trying to figure out, how am I going to save for it? Mm-hmm. And I do have some advice about that, a suggestion about that. Another kind of product that might be a good fit for them that we can talk about in the second half too. But in this case, I just want to remind people that when Ben is giving those numbers, it's probably straight off that calculator I'm talking about. And he's talking about a 60-year-old person the next year. When most of my clients are saying, oh no, I want to retire at 65, or I'm happy working still part-time, or I want to do it later. Now, the older you get, the higher that income is going to be for two reasons. One is that you've deferred it longer and you're grabbing 8% a year on it right now, compounded, plus mm-hmm. that bonus we talked about. And the second is that the government tables say, you know, you'll live a shorter period of time. So they have to pay out your money over that lifetime, mm-hmm. which means your payments get larger. It's very easy to illustrate this for anybody that's considering this idea and is just afraid of the word annuity or fixed indexed annuity. Sounds even more complicated. It's like 30 seconds. I can show you whether this is what money is going to come out of your retirement nest egg doing this part of your retirement nest egg. And before we go to break, I want to make that point. This is not for all of your money. Nothing should be for all of your money. It's a tool. It's a strategy to use. It's a great one. It works very well for retirees, especially anybody interested in safe money and unsure about what's going to happen with the market, because I'll tell you what, you might want to wait and say, well, when my CDs are done, then I'll look at this. But let me tell you something. When the CD rates drop, the annuity rates will drop too. So if you want to do this, you should think about it as early on as possible in this environment, when exactly what Ben said, probably the one takeaway from this is income is on sale right now. And that's the way to look at it.
Okay, perfect. We'll get into more of this with the second half. It's a really great conversation. Ben Braverman and Francis Ram, the Money Doctor, part two of Financial Fitness, coming up next on WHMP.
When it comes to investing, we're taught the higher the risk, the better the reward. Francis Ram, the Money Doctor, says it isn't necessarily true. We need to remember that with risk comes the potential for losses, and making up losses can set us back, or worse, delay our retirement. You've heard the testimonials for years about how her patented program helps people become 100% debt-free far ahead of schedule. But did you know that for more than 35 years, Dr. Ram has been helping people retire well without unnecessary risk? Dr. Ram says most people mistakenly accept that in order to earn attractive interest rates, they must tolerate risk, and that choosing safety means settling for lackluster returns. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can earn competitive rates and minimize taxes without risking a single dollar of your hard-earned savings. Contact the Money Doctor at Hug Your Money for a free consultation. Call 413-773-3333 or visit HugYourMoney.com.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Ram, along with a special guest.
We have Ben Braverman from SMS Financial Services. Welcome back, Ben.
Hey, Jess. Hey, Frances. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. One of the reasons you like to talk about payout a certain way is to make it easier for people to understand. Can you explain again how you think 100%. About that?
So we talked about this a little bit in the previous episode, because right now, CDs are finally really attractive. Banks finally had to give in, right? For the longest time, you were getting 25, 50, 75 basis points, which is just something that people in my industry do obnoxiously. All that means is 0.5%, everybody, in a CD at the bank. Now you can get something in the neighborhood of 5% for 5 years, which is great. But what we were talking about is there's strategies via index annuities where you can get guaranteed income for life. And if you're the purpose of buying the CD is to pull the interest for income, which is what a lot of consumers are doing, then consider this. Oftentimes, with strategies that Frances has access to, you can get 5 or 10% of your initial purchase payment back in the form of guaranteed income. For easy math, let's say that you give $100,000 at age 60 to XYZ carrier. That XYZ carrier 5 years later gives you a $10,000 a year paycheck, regardless of whether the market is up, down, or sideways. And if you buy it now, if you put that money into it now, regardless of where interest rates are for 5 years. So 10,000 of 100,000 is what? 10%. So if you think that, as a lot of consumers do, if the goal is to pull the interest from the CD to supplement Social Security or a supplemental retirement income, then through an indexed annuity, you can actually get effectively a 10% yield or a 10% return in the form of guaranteed income, 10% of your initial purchase payment for the rest of your life, when we think about 10,000 as part of 100,000. And that's really, really attractive. And guess what? 5, 10, 15, 20 years out, regardless of where interest rates are at, and regardless of where the market is at, you'll still get that $10,000 a year paycheck or what have you. Furthermore, the reason that the insurance company can afford to do this is because they have access to AAA rated corporate bonds that banks have some access to, but to not the same degree. And for that reason, they have even higher yields that they are able to pass on to the consumers, just like the banks, but in the form of more long-term strategies. So 5% for 5 years or 10% for the rest of your life.
Yes, I think Ben has reiterated that point perfectly. But one of the questions I get is, well, how is that possible? How can they pay a big bonus like that and then this guaranteed income? Something must be wrong. How are they making money? So I would like to say Ben's just pointed that out. First of all, they know how to make money probably better than the average person. That's what actuaries are for. They have access to wholesale pricing, which we don't have access to. And of course, there is a surrender charge on these kinds of annuities, much like you to have a penalty if you pulled your CD money out early. So that's pretty parallel, right? They're going to feel a lot like a CD because they're safe money. They have surrender charges if you pull too much out early, but they have great liquidity. Even if you're not turning the income on, that specific product I was talking about, you can get 7% after you've been in it for a year, 7% of your balance without a penalty from the company. That doesn't mean you're not going to pay taxes on it, but it does mean you may not even turn the income on yet. You might take that 30% bonus, 8% roll up, and 2 years from now say, I want a little bit of money, and take your 7% out and leave the rest of it there for the future time when you're going to finally turn the income on. So there's several ways to get your liquidity out of these things. It's not just stick your money in there, make a choice for income today, and you're stuck with it. Mm-hmm. In fact, this particular product, you can actually turn the income on and off, something that's probably too complicated to get into right now, but that's a very unusual feature. Let's say that you're thinking of retiring. Mm-hmm. You decide to turn the income on, and 2 years from now, you say, no, I want to go back to work. I miss it. Well, now you've got so much income, you don't need the income from the annuity. Why take it and pay the tax on it if you can defer it further? So you turn the income off again, right? And then a couple of years later, you could turn it back on. So there's a lot of flexibility to these, when I think most people have the idea that if you have an income generating annuity for life, it is the old fashioned kind. It's just a fixed annuity, an immediate annuity where you buy it, you put a lump sum of money in, you get the income for the rest of your life, and you have given up that asset in order to do that. That's the kind of thing we used to use for nursing home avoidance and things like that. Mm-hmm. We ever use those kinds of annuities in my practice any longer. So the next thing I think people would say is, well, what happens to my money when I'm gone? You know, in my CD, I put a beneficiary on it. So I draw the interest, but whatever's left goes to my beneficiary. Mm-hmm. I'll ask Ben to talk about that just to give him equal time about how in this specific product. And I do want to save a couple minutes to talk about the solution for Jess's client that she mentioned.
So yes, to your point, we're in the golden age of annuities. We're in the golden age of innovation with respect to annuities. So it used to be that an income annuity known as a SPIA, which isn't a bad strategy, it has a place just like a CD has a place, just like exposure to the market has a place. I am not an all or nothing consultant. While I consult specifically on annuities, there's a place at the table for a lot of different strategies to have a fully diversified retirement portfolio. That being said, these old income annuities, you essentially were giving your money to the insurance company in exchange for a guaranteed income stream, not unlike a pension, but a pension insofar as when you died, other than maybe your spouse being able to take over that income or pension, there was no real asset left. And that's what makes the strategies that, for good reason, Francis is especially bullish on so compelling and competitive. I call it G plus A, guarantee plus accumulation, which is the ability to have an unequivocal guarantee of income, as we discussed earlier, be that 5% of purchase payment, 10% of purchase payment, 12% of purchase payment, but also have some underlying indices that should generate a rate of return. So after 10, 20, 25 years, even after you've been taking that income stream, you still have real cash value. And what is that cash value? Well, number one, Francis, it's cash. It's money that you have access to. So with less than 25% of retirees having some type of long-term care plan, it's money that in case of an emergency, to Francis' point, you could turn off the income and use it to supplement some other unanticipated expense in retirement. But what else is it? It's legacy. It's real cash value that your designated beneficiaries, be that your children, your church, your charity, whomever you want it to be, will get whatever's left in that cash value account, that A account, that account value, even while you're still getting that guarantee, that'll go to your beneficiaries. So it's a fantastic combination because it satisfies two major concerns in retirement, which is outliving your assets and also an inability to leave a legacy. So this marries the two together. And on the one side, you're guaranteeing that you're not going to outlive the asset. And on the other side, as long as we get a decent rate of return in the indices, you have a good possibility of still leaving a legacy.
Will the beneficiary in that part, would they get a lump sum of what was left or would they get the guarantee?
They would get a lump sum. There is something called a joint income benefit, Jess, where I could say, you know what, I want to make sure that I'm going to buy this strategy with my retirement dollars, and I'm going to make my wife a joint income recipient of the income. Mm-hmm. So if either of us passes away, the income stream continues. So if it's $10,000 and I die, she continues to get a paycheck for $10,000 or vice versa. Then when we both pass away, unfortunately, whomever our beneficiaries are, which in this case, whomever that may be, they'll get the remainder of the cash value. But you can only just to clarify, there's no strategy out there that will continue an income stream to your children, but there is ones between spouses.
Okay.
That's just how it works right now.
Yeah, that was a really good question, Jess. I know that we're getting short on time, and I promised to address the question you had about what if somebody had $10,000, would this be the best kind of a product for them with this income rider? And I would say, you know, in certain circumstances, maybe, but probably not. With a smaller amount of money like that, we might opt for a different kind of an indexed annuity or a different kind of product altogether. It might be something else completely different. Mm-hmm. But I like to use two products in combination with one another very often for people because they offer different things. So for somebody with, say, $10,000, maybe they have $10,000 over here and other money over here, I might use these two in combination. And the second product I'm alluding to is also a fixed indexed annuity, but rather than buy the income rider on it, I might use it because it has an upfront cash bonus. The first one we talked about had a bonus, but it's used for income purposes. This one would be used for cash. So you put your $10,000 in, and if it has a 15% bonus, immediately it's worth $11,500. Mm-hmm. And then you have the income, I mean, the earnings based on the market. But it also has, that particular product also has liquidity in the first year, which is very unusual. So remember when we started talking about this, I said, you know, this is not a one size fits all. I didn't say it, but I paraphrased it. It's not a one size fits all product.
Right.
We use different kinds of products for different solutions. We very rarely come on the air and talk about specific things. These were too good to ignore. And I wanted Ben to come on and share this with everybody. But you could get, for instance, in that annuity, if it's liquidity you're worried about, like I'm putting this in a money market account because I need it to be somewhat liquid. I might need another $1,000 this year. Okay, you could get 5% of that contract out in year one without a penalty from the company. And after year one, 10% per year. So you have some liquidity. Could you take it all out? Sure, but you would suffer the surrender charges on anything over your free withdrawal. But the same sorts of things. These products go to your beneficiaries. Maybe an important point for people is that annuities avoid probate. They precede your will. In case that bears repeating, the money goes directly to your beneficiaries. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get stuck in a will. Now, when might that be extremely important? Let's say you're leaving somebody some property. You know, all my money's in my house. I'm going to leave my house to my kids. Well, who's going to pay that mortgage if there is one? Until this money gets freed up.
And that takes a long time sometimes. Yeah.
It can take a long time. And those annuities might generate the cash or, you know, or the income in order for them to be able to survive and not have to do a fire sale on that house that you thought was your biggest investment. Yeah, lots and lots of reasons to use different products. Obviously, today we're talking about fixed indexed annuities, but obviously we use everything we can to try and make a good plan for clients. I would just ask Ben for any last words, anything we didn't talk about that you think we missed and was important for this show, Ben.
I would recap that we're in the golden age of annuities, that in this high interest rate environment, insurance companies have more yield. And for that reason, whether it's $10,000 in a scenario that Jess outlined, $100,000, $500,000, 50 to 60% of your portfolio for most retirees, you should have some type of risk mitigation, be that you're mitigating legacy risk, be that you're mitigating market risk or sequence of returns risk, or mitigating longevity risk, i.e. outliving your assets. And there's a lot of different annuity strategies to address that. But just like you don't want to have FOMO about missing out on that so attractive at the bank, the last thing I would want is retirees 5 or 6 years from now when interest rates come back to earth to think, shoot, I could have gotten myself either a really, really great private pension and retirement in the form of guaranteed income, a really, really strong long-term accumulation strategy as a complement to the market, something a little safer, or a really, really good legacy strategy.
So I just want to thank Ben Braverman from SMS Financial Services again for joining us. And I hope you'll come back again.
Well, let's get your phone number, Frances.
413-773-3333 here at Hug Your Money.
Or you can visit info@hugyourmoney.com. Ben Braverman, Dr. Frances Ram, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jess.
Have you heard about Get the Tea? It's an online herbal supplement company with high quality standards. You cannot find these in stores. They carry cleansing teas and targeted herbal supplements for all your health needs. Go to GetTheTea.com today to order yours. Health shouldn't be put off. It should be a priority. And check out their specials page for sale items. That's GetTheTea.com. Enter code TEA123 for 10% off exclusively for my listeners. GetTheTea.com, code TEA123. Order today.
This is Frances Rayum, the Money Doctor. Now you can become 100% debt-free, budget successfully, and retire well, all under the Hug Your Money umbrella.
I'm Shannon. I'm from Greenfield.
I'm Kevin. I'm from Franklin County. When Shannon first mentioned it, I was like, no, no, no.
I said, honey, your profession is your profession, and you are amazing at it, and it involves being in control of a lot of things. I said, but sometimes you have to let control go to somebody who knows more in a different area. And I said, she is professional. She knows about finances. So let's let her help us. And then when we left your office that day, he was like, holy crap. I'm so glad you made me do that.
Debt, budget, retirement. HUG works best when we work together. Schedule your free consultation with a Hug Your Money coach today. Visit hugyourmoney.com. Hug Your Money. So unique, it's patented.